Now we're turning again to Luke chapter 11. And I want to bring the message from verse 21 down through verse 26. Luke 11, 21 through verse 26. I'm taking the title for the message from verse 23. And I've been thinking much about what is said in verse 23. The Lord declares, "He that is not with me is against me." Now you think about that a while. Those who are not with the Lord Jesus Christ, He said, they are against me. And he that gathereth not with me. Now the key there is with me. I want to be with Him. He is eternal life. He is salvation. He that gathereth not with me just scatters. All he's doing is just scattering the people. Not gathering them, just scattering them. So the title of the message will be, "He that's not with Christ is against him." He that is not with Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not against him. Now what the Lord is giving here in these verses, found in verse 21 down through verse 26, is a description, first of all, of true conversion with Christ and by the power of God Almighty that is found or called the stronger man, verse 22. Christ is called the power of God. Christ is called the wisdom of God, the power of God unto salvation. We see true conversion described by the stronger man that shall come upon him and overtake him. That's what happens when God saves us. The Lord Jesus Christ is a stronger man who overcomes us, who overwhelms us, and who convicts us and converts us and makes us new creatures in Christ. And then the second thing we see in these verses is a description of false conversion. False conversion in verse 24 down through verse 26. That is conversion without Christ. That is religion without the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Religion by the deceiving lies of Satan or by the lies of men. We are warned in Scripture to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary seeks to deceive us. The Apostle Paul writes this. He said, "Now let us not be ignorant of the wiles of the devil, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Now, in verse 21, we read these. We read these words. Verse 21, "When a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are in peace." Now, here's a description of what we are by nature. We see the Lord describe Satan here, the devil, as a strong man armed. A strong man armed. Well armed. Keeping his palace. And the palace here he's talking about is the heart of the sinner. The heart of the unbeliever. The palace here. And this strong man armed keeps the sinner in a false peace. He keeps his goods in peace. He gives him a false refuge. He gives him a false hope. He gives him false peace. This is our state and standing by nature. Without God, without hope, and without Christ. Our hearts ought to be a place for the throne of God and the dominion of Christ. But because of sin entering in, because of the guilt of sin entering in Adam all died. And the sin that has entered into us and the sin that has dominion over us. Now our fallen, wicked heart, being deceived, is controlled by the prince of the power of the air. The prince of darkness, he is called. Now, we read in Ephesians 2, verse 2, a moment ago, "The Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." In 2 Corinthians 4:4, we read, "And whom the God of this world, or the prince of this world, hath blinded their minds of them who believe not." Now, you can be under a lost man, an unbeliever, can be under the influence and dominion of Satan and not even know it. and thinks that he has peace. And all he has is false peace. Satan is called here in verse 21 a strong man armed. Who can stand against a strong man armed? You're no match for him. I'm no match for him. The devil is a strong man, well armed, fully armed, an unfallen sinner like you and me are no match for him. Even unfallen Adam or fallen man is no match for him. Unfallen Adam before he sinned and before Eve sinned, when Satan came upon them, the strong man overcame them, and they both sinned against God. Satan is a strong man armed with malice, vengeance, full of fury and hate. That's what Luther wrote about in that song. He's a chief deceiver of our own fallen and wicked heart. He finds much in us that's allied to his evil. There is much in our flesh that appeals to the lies of the devil. What are the lies of the devil? Do the best you can, everything will be all right. Our evil lust, our stubborn pride, and the hardness of our heart, our wicked desire, Satan, the strong man, he preys upon them and it incites them to act out. Own wicked flesh appeals to the lies of the devil. Satan keeps the unbelieving heart in peace. Oh, it's a false peace. It's a refuge of lies. And the man who has a false peace has no fear of God, no fear of death, no fear of judgment, no dread of hell. The unbeliever, as it says here, he's at peace. The strong man armed keepeth his palace, and his good, his conscience is at peace. He's not afraid to die. He's not afraid of God. An unbeliever is not disturbed, even though he's vile and wretched and guilty before God. They often say, well, I'm not afraid to die. Jeremiah calls this a false peace. He said, peace, peace. The false prophet cried, peace, peace. Where there is no peace, it's a false peace based upon a lie. One of Satan's chief devices that he is well armed with is false religion, man-centered religion. Hold your place there and find 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. 2 Corinthians 11, 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You see that? Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. Now, whose righteousness do they pop up and promote? Self-righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deed, according to their works. Now, Satan is a strong man, and he is armed, and he keeps those who are unbelievers under his dominion, and they in their conscience seem to be at peace. It's a false peace, but they have peace for a while, and they're undisturbed about the things of God, the truth of God, and the gospel of God. Now, here's the second thing we see, and here is what we see. What must take place to break the rule of that strong man over our heart? Verse 22, when it's stronger than he. Now, Satan is a strong man. He's described as a strong man. But who can overcome him? You? Me? No. The stronger than he. Who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. He shall come upon him. And this is what happens when God saves a sinner. He overcomes him. He conquers him, and he taketh from him all his armor of self-glory, self-righteousness, the things that you would trust in, wherein he trusted, and then he divideth his spoils. Now, here's we see we see what is involved in true conversion, true regeneration of the sinner. And this is the work of God. It's not something that we do, or the church does, or the preacher does. This is solely and totally the work of God making us new creatures. Satan is a great deceiver of men. That is true. He's a strong man. That is true. But thanks be to God, the Lord Jesus Christ is much greater. He is a greater Savior, a greater deliverer of men's souls from the bondage of sin and from the clutches of Satan. Thank God He is a stronger than he. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him. He is able to deliver us. Is He not? He gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God, our Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is described here as the stronger than He. Now, Satan has power, but he doesn't have all power. The Lord Jesus Christ has all power in heaven and in earth. You see, the one here that's a stronger man is the one who is the God-man mediator, who is able to overcome all obstacles to our salvation. The law of God has to be honored. Who can do that? The strong man, the stronger man, the Lord Jesus Christ did that. Sin has to be put away. Who did that? The stronger man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we are no match for Satan, but not so with the Lord Jesus Christ. He has all power in heaven and in earth, and none can stay His hand, or none can say to Him, Lord God Almighty, what doest Thou? Now think with me, and I'm not trying to be overcritical or overthink this thing, but if you listen to most preaching that's going on today, they give more credit and power to Satan than they do to God Almighty. They exalt the power of Satan, and they diminish the power of God. And it's just the opposite. The devil, as I said this morning on the radio program, the devil is God's devil. He has no power. He is not a rogue spirit doing his own thing. He's under the dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has all power in heaven and in earth. The Lord our God has all power over our dead and wicked hearts. Who can raise a dead man up? You have He quickened who were dead. Satan has no power to raise up dead sinners and make them new creatures in Christ. You have He quickened who were dead. Our Lord prayed that in John 17, Father, You've given Me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given to Me. When the Lord comes upon us in saving mercy, He takes everything away from us. He takes away from us everything that we would trust in, and He divides our spoils. Look what it says there in verse 22. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall come upon the sinner, He taketh from him all his armor. He strips him. He leaves him naked and exposes him to the holy law of God and shows him that he is guilty. He takes away all of his armor of pride, all of his armor of righteousness, wherein the sinner trusted. And then the Lord destroys that. Destroys any false hope. When the Lord comes in saving mercy, He takes everything away from us that we by nature would hope in. We would hope in that we've been a pretty good boy. We would hope in that we've done some righteousness in our flesh. But we know when God comes and shows us who we are and who He is, He gives us the only hope that a sinner can have, which is Christ alone. Christ always. Christ in all of salvation. And the Lord Jesus Christ divides the spoil. It reminds me of the verse found in Isaiah 53:12, where it says, He shall divide the spoil of the strong. Remember? Because He hath poured out His soul to death, He was numbered with the transgressor, He bare the sin of many, and He made intercession for transgressors. all our treasures of self-worth, self-righteousness, religious pride, the Lord teaches us, as He taught Saul of Tarsus, to count them all but dung, that we might win Christ and be found in Him. You see, when the Lord comes upon us, the stronger man, and He conquers our pride, He conquers our will, He causes us to bow in submission, He convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, what I am, of righteousness, what I need, and of judgment, what I deserve. And the Lord gives us mercy in Christ Jesus. He makes to know that all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. The Lord has all power in making us new creatures in Christ. The Lord has all power to translate us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. And then the Lord gives us a true righteousness and true peace. What is true righteousness? Do you have a righteousness before God? Yes, I do. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord, our righteousness. The Lord strips us and then He clothes us. Thank God. He makes us empty and then He fills us with Himself. That's true conversion. And thank God He has all power in salvation. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him. And then secondly, He has all power over all demons and devils. They obey Him and do His will. Listen to this scripture, 1 John 3:8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. The devil is not an independent rogue spirit operating and doing his own thing. He is a defeated foe. When the Lord commanded that demon spirit to come out of this deaf man, this blind man, the unclean spirit came out. That is the all-conquering power of God Almighty. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the seed of woman in Genesis 3:15 that crushed Satan's power, and He did so at Calvary. He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Now the power of sin to damn us is gone because the Lord Jesus Christ put an end to sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Satan is under the absolute control of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read a moment ago in Ephesians chapter 1 that He's exalted to the right hand of God, seated in the heavenly, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and have put all things under His feet. All things are under His feet. And He gave Him to be head over all things to the church. The Lord Jesus Christ is Lord of all things. He's Lord in creation. He's Lord in providence. He's Lord in salvation. And He's Lord over every demon spirit. The devil is not a competitor to the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil is God's servant who does only as God wills and as God permits. We read in Colossians 2, the Lord Jesus Christ by Himself at Calvary's tree spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them Himself. Now, there's true conversion. Verse 22. Now, here's an interlude in verse 23. The Lord says this, He that is not with me is against me. He that's not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me does nothing but scatter. Scatters everything. Confuses everything. Now here's the point. You're either a believer of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ or you're not. You're either saved or you're lost. That's right. You either have life in Christ or you do not. You see, there is no middle ground. There is no neutral ground. To be with Christ is to be one with Him and in union with Him by faith. He that is with me, I want to be with Him. with Him by union of faith. I want to be found in Him, which is salvation. He that is not with me is against me. I want to be found with Him. And the point is that the Lord is making here, there's no middle ground or neutral ground when it comes to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's either total sellout, unconditional surrender unto the gospel of God, submitting to His absolute lordship, or you stand in opposition to Him. One or the other. You've either bowed unto Christ and submitted all salvation unto Him, or you stand in opposition to Him. There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. Neutrality is impossible. The last words of Joshua, you remember what he said? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. And then Elijah said this on Mount Carmel. Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, you follow Him. But if Baal be Baal, now you follow him." There's no neutral ground. You're either with God or you're against Him. There's no middle line. You see, you cannot remain silent or indifferent on the gospel of Christ once you've heard it. You remember the old saying, well, he's trying to straddle a fence. He's trying to be on both sides of the fence. You can't straddle this fence. You're either with God in the gospel of Christ, or you stand in opposition to it. It's either salvation all by the grace of God or works. It will not mix. It cannot be both. It's either salvation all received by faith or by the doing of the law. It can't be both. It will not mix. See what the Lord is saying? He that's not with me is against me. You either believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ or you don't. You're either saved by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ or you're condemned by it. See, that's a big statement here. It's a big saying, isn't it? You either serve the Lord Jesus Christ or you stand in opposition to Him. And notice the second part of that. He that gathereth not with me is the key. He that gathereth not with me, all he does is scatter abroad. Now, turn to this scripture. Hold your place there and find Luke 16. And what he's saying is the same thing that's found here in Luke 16, 13. Luke 16, 13. You see, no servant can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and self. For you either hate the one or you love the other, else you hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And you can put in there self or self-glory or self-righteousness. And the Pharisees, who were covetous, heard these things and they derided him. Now what the Lord is doing here, he's describing these people. And he said unto them, "You are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." If you don't gather with the Lord Jesus Christ and serve Him, all you do is scatter abroad. Scatter abroad. I thought about this. Those who gather not with Christ, with the gospel of Christ, in the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, all they do is scatter the people. God does not use the lies of men to call His people out of darkness into light and to make them new creatures. Those who do not lift up the Lord Jesus Christ in the preaching of the gospel, all they do when they preach is make a loud noise and they scatter people. No salvation. It pleased God through the preaching of the gospel to call out His people. You see, there's no truth in their message. Those who do not preach the gospel of God's grace in Christ. There's no life in their message. There's no peace in their message. There's no righteousness. There's no pardon. There's no salvation. All they do is scatter things. Confuse people. So much so that they make, the false preacher makes those people that sit under their ministry to trust themselves for salvation. Think about it. See what the Lord is saying here? He that's not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me, with the gospel of Christ, all they do is scatter. All they do is scatter, like a shotgun. They just scatter things. Scatters everywhere. Now, the second thing, or the third thing, fourth thing, we see in verse 24, 25, and 26, the Lord gives us a fit description of reformation without regeneration. He gives us a fit description of a false conversion. A false conversion. Now, here's a dreadful, awful picture the Lord gives: religion without Christ and reformation without regeneration. Let's read these verses one more time. Luke 11, 24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man. Now, notice here, he's not driven out. He's not driven out by the stronger man. The unclean spirit just decides to leave this man alone. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places. There's no water of life. Seeking rest, there's no rest. Our rest is only in Christ. He finds none. And then he saith, I will return unto my house. You remember that palace? The heart of the sinner, unconverted? He said, it's my house when I left. It's my house when I return. Verse 25, when he cometh, he finds it swept and garnished. Over in Matthew 12, he says there that it's also, he adds, empty. Empty, swept, and garnished. Then he goeth, this unclean spirit, and he taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is much worse than the first. Now that's a good description of what false conversion is. A dreadful, awful picture. The Lord gives us religion here without Christ, reformation without regeneration. Here is a man to whom the unclean spirit has simply departed. He's not driven out by God the Holy Spirit. He's not driven out by the strong man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The unclean spirit simply departs for a while and then returns with a sevenfold vengeance. Did you notice that? Seven other spirits. He departs from that man for a while, and the man takes up reformation. He cleans up his house. He sweeps it out. He decorates it. He garnishes it. When the unclean spirit and the devil depart from the man, you know what the man does? He cleans up his act. He cleans up his act. He becomes moral. He becomes reformed. He takes up the god of morality. He gets religion. He gets full of self-righteousness. He sweeps the outside of the cup, but within, there's no change. Now, the Lord gives us another good description of that self-righteous religion. If you find Matthew 23, and this is exactly describing the same thing. Verse 25 of Matthew 23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. A hypocrite means a play actor. For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within you're full of excess and extortion. He finds the house swept and clean. You blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is in the cup and the platter, and the outside may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrite, for you like a whited sepulchre, a gravestone, which indeed appear beautiful outward, marble, shiny, but within you're full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, outwardly you appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. You see, this man, when the unclean spirit went out, he got religion. He got morality. He cleaned up his act. He became a reformed man. But there was no change within. It was all veneer, all outside. The strong man didn't come in and conquer him. These spirits, when they come back, he finds the man, when he cometh, he finds it swept and garnished and clean, empty. Cleaned on the outside. Man, There's no washing of the blood by the power of Christ. He decorated the outside. The house is garnished with religious trinkets, church regulation, rule, but He has no divine nature implanted in the heart. He's not a partaker of a divine nature in regenerating grace. He's not made a new creature in Christ. He just simply cleaned up the outside. Peter said, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, look at verse 26. Luke 11:26. Then he goeth, that is his unclean spirit, and he takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in, and they stay there. They dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. One day, something happened to this man who's experiencing this false conversion. Some trial or some heartache comes his way. Some grief is sent his way. He loses his reformation. He loses his man-made religion and his refuge of lies. This serves as a warning to us about being religious without true conversion by the power of God, by the stronger man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at the last part of verse 26. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Better never to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ than to hear it and not believe it. That's right. Notice this sad end of this man who has this false conversion. He becomes gospel hardened. He's full of a critical, bitter spirit. He's full of self-righteousness and a covetous spirit. He's worse off than he was before. He's a theologian, but he has no love. The apostle writes this, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, though I have all faith so I can remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. You see, this man's state is worse than it was at first. This man who's experienced a false conversion, who has lost any hope of salvation at all, the last state of that man is worse than the first. He becomes his own pastor. He has no use for the gospel ministry. He has no use for the church where the gospel is preached. How sad is the state of this man? Peter describes this same thing. Turn over here to 2 Peter chapter 2. Talking about a false conversion. And I'm warning me and I'm warning you. Seek salvation in Christ. Rest in Him. Find 2 Peter 2, verse 20. 2 Peter 2, 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of this world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Better never to hear the gospel of Christ than to hear it and depart from it. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. Now this is the way of righteousness revealed in the gospel. Then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment, that is the gospel, delivered unto them. But it is happening to them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit, and the sow that was washed in her wallowing back to the mud, back to the mire. Then he goeth, look back at Luke 11, then he goeth he, and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter therein and dwell therein, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now, here's a lesson for us and the warning for us we find in Holy Scripture. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Now, I don't want to rest in a false conversion. I don't want to rest in an experience. I want to rest in Christ to His salvation. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate. Now, I don't want to miss the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation in Him, and I don't want you to miss Christ. I want you to look to Him and rest in Him. As the Apostle Peter said, let us make our calling and election sure. You see, true faith, when trials come, true faith does not quit. True faith does not melt away. True faith perseveres in the faith. True faith perseveres in a way, does not quit, does not turn back. Now, a couple of scriptures. Let's turn and read these. Turn to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews gives us some warnings about these things of false conversion rather than true conversion. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, take heed therefore, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Look at verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now, what is the beginning of our confidence? Christ. What is the middle part of our confidence? Christ. What is the end of our confidence? The Lord Jesus Christ alone. Now, one other scripture in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Now, verse 38. The just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back. Now, here again is true conversion and false conversion. We are not of them that draw back unto condemnation, perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, I trust the Lord will give us much grace. And I pray that the stronger man, the Lord Jesus Christ, will conquer us and have dominion over us and reveal Himself unto us anew and afresh, again and again and again.